Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Jimmy G stuff.
You've got to give it up to him.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Jimmy Garoppolo here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Jimmy going to run for the end zone touchdown.
You do good things on the field, good things will happen to you. So it doesn't matter if it's pretty or ugly, win's a win.
Earlier on the show, host of the Business of Sports podcast, Andrew Brandt. ESPN and HBO commentator Bomani Jones. Still to come. From Peacock's True Story with Ed and Randall. Actor Ed Helms. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Ed Helms is going to join us in about 20 minutes' time. The very hilarious Ed Helms. The Office, The Hangover, The Daily Show, and now True Story with Ed and Randall. Right here on Peacock, where he and Randall Park, his co-host, hear stories for the first time from real people, and then they reenact them. And it's really funny. And there's apparently a great first guest to tell you about that Ed's got a great story about involving the Pittsburgh Steelers and the 70s Pittsburgh Steelers. And Terry Bradshaw's in the first show, and it's kind of wild. And we'll have that conversation with them. And then with you at 844-204-RICH. Your phone calls, we will take them all. But there's breaking news out of the National Football League. My colleague Ian Rappaport reporting as well that Sean Payton has told the Saints that he's stepping away. And the head coach of the New Orleans Saints since 2006 has told the Saints that he is stepping away from the gig. There's 3 years, right, and $45 million on his contract that he's leaving on the table. We're assuming Dennis Allen's going to get the gig. Obviously, it's an open job, so there will be interviewing that is necessary. And who wants to go to New Orleans and take over this team with a terrific defense, but with an open question at quarterback, to say the least? And what a run, to say the least. By the way, also a great way, one would say, to promote your new movie coming out starring Kevin James as you, called Home Team. Kevin's on tomorrow's program, as a matter of fact.
Hey, all right.
So we'll ask him if he's interested in the job. And so it's, yes, surprising, because he is somebody that has been there and has done that and has been synonymous with the Saints organization. Coming there in 2006, just as Katrina had blown their house down. And he and Breeze together, hooked up together in 2006, making Hall of Fame music together, bringing a championship to New Orleans, beating Peyton Manning, New Orleans' favorite son, in that Super Bowl, being one of the more innovative, risk-taking coaches of his era as well. We all know the 1 year that the movie Home Team is about is when he was suspended from the NFL that 1 year due to Bounty Gate.
2012.
And so the run has had a ton of ups and some of the lowest of the lows for any head coach in the NFL. But one thing that was always consistent was just winning football, risk-taking football, cutting-edge football. Signing Taysom Hill-type football. And this year in particular, you know, had the Rams finished off the Niners, not only might the Cowboys and the Packers still be in the playoffs, But the Saints would have made it, which is amazing based on the fact that Breeze is gone and Jameis is in, but then Jameis is gone in a game in which they beat Brady. And then Trevor Siemian is there, and then he's gone, and let's try Taysom Hill, and he starts winning some games, and then he's gone, and let's get Trevor Siemian back in there. And then Taysom Hill comes back, and then he eventually is gone in the last game in Atlanta that they win in a walk with Trevor Siemian because Taysom Hill hurts his foot in that game. And Kamara's out, in and out of the lineup, mostly out, then in. And Michael Thomas was supposed to be in the lineup and then wasn't. This year in particular might have been his best coaching job, but apparently it took a ton out of him. And you'll hear the conversation that I'm sure he's looking around and seeing there's no quarterback situation. And that he's been there and done that. Recently married, remarried. And maybe he just wants to take a year away. There's a ton of hot rumors about him trying television out. And then there's the rumor that he's leaving, so the Dallas Cowboys can, in fact, come get him.
Bingo.
But I don't know how that works. I don't know if you could basically say I'm stepping aside and then all of a sudden you show up somewhere else right away. Like, that ain't happening.
Yeah, throw him.
That
send,
ain't
send
happening.
The
well,
Saints
then,
draft
then
pick,
then
like,
this
whatever.
Could be that could be the part of the process. I'm stepping away, and now I want to go here, and let's figure out the compensation, and this has kick-started it. That's great. Possible.
Cowboys fans would all sign for that.
But the whole idea is that, is Brady coming back? Is Rodgers going to stay or leave? Now, who's the next coach of the New Orleans Saints, and what does Sean Payton want to do? Because if he does, in fact, step away, there are some TV gigs waiting for him if that is what he wants to do. And then every coach opening in the NFL will start with a phone call to this guy. And if you think I'm wrong about that, you know I'm right. But if you still think I'm wrong about it, just 2 weeks ago, we had Tony Dungy on this program, and I asked him if anybody's called him about any of these 8 vacancies here, and he said he got 2.
He hasn't coached in how long?
He said he got 2 calls, and he said that when the calls come in, his wife hangs the phone up for him. Because the number of dollars that be thrown in Dungy's way, I'm sure, would be tough to not hear.
Yeah. He's been coaching 13 years.
So this now leads, let me just think this off the top of my head, this leaves currently Pete Carroll as the most tenured coach in the NFC. And there's even conversation that he and the Seahawks might depart. And, you know, Arians has been with Tampa for 3 years. Matt Rhule's entering his third year, you know. Arthur Smith's got that new gig. Minnesota's got a new coach coming. So do the Bears. The Vikings just, as you know, the Lions just hired a new coach in 1 year. Matt LaFleur has gone for, the Giants are getting for a new coach. The Eagles are on their coach for their second year. McCarthy's for 3 years. The Washington football team's had Ron Rivera for a couple years. You know, Matt LaFleur and McVay and Kyle Shanahan and Kingsbury are kind of like the new deans of the NFC behind Pete Carroll.
Wow.
Now that Peyton's stepped aside.
Kind of the whole NFC West.
Outside of Pete Carroll.
I'm just meaning consistency-wise, like it's been 5-plus years for all those guys.
Yeah. Kind of wild. And the Chicago Bears have apparently identified a new general manager. He is currently the assistant general manager in Kansas City, Ryan Poles. The executive director of player personnel, Ryan Poles, is going to Chicago. So Ryan Poles replaces Ryan Pace. So they trade out their ace for an Oles. They've got Poles and Foles. That's it. That's my only analysis. That's what you come here for. Trade out an ace for an Oles, and now they've got a Poles with the Foles.
People were saying you only had to change a couple letters on the name.
Yeah, that's it. Right, you go. Know? So, look, man, let's hope for your sake, Chicago Bears, you got it right at the second bite of the Kansas City apple, because the first one you went and took Matt Nagy off of Reed's staff, and that didn't work out except for that one year when he came in and he got Trubisky playing well and the double doink knocked you out. Rest of it, not so good. And Ryan Pace out. And you went and grabbed him from the Saints organization and you hooked him up with a Chiefs coach. Didn't work out. Now you're going to go and grab somebody from Brett Veach's staff and say, do that here. Justin Fields is R. Mahomes. Our previous coach wanted to make him R. Mahomes just by merely sitting him in the first year. That couldn't work out. So let's now bring somebody in who? Like, we're going to assume in the same way that the Giants took someone from the Bills organization. Now let's get that Brian Daboll is going to go there for sure. Although Dan Quinn just finished a first interview there. So, you know, what are we assuming? You'll get Bieniemy from Kansas City? I guess if you bring someone from Kansas City in and they don't hire Eric Bieniemy to go fix Justin Fields, you'd be kind of surprised, except for the fact Jim Caldwell's currently in the building, which is weird that the Giants said, we're hiring the general manager, and that guy's going to run the system here. That guy's going to run the coaching search. But the Bears have been interviewing general manager candidates and coaching candidates at the same time. So don't you think that you're going to have to ask what this guy thinks of the coaching hires that you've already done? The coaching interviews already? Jim Caldwell's in the building? Who wouldn't be a bad choice either? I know Bears fans might be like, he's a retread, but that's a hell of a retread. That's a hell of a retread. Yeah, the best the Lions were in the Stafford time was with this guy. And this is also the man who you'd be grabbing from the Dungy tree, where Lovie Smith came from as well, right? Lovie came from the St. Louis staff, too. He was there when Marshall was there. I don't know. I might be mistaking him being part of the Dungy tree just because they were in the same Super Bowl together. But, well, you certainly would be taking someone from the Dungy tree in Caldwell. I don't know, man.
Got a winning record with the Lions. Like, that should say so much.
Who, Jim Caldwell?
Yeah.
I know. I agree with you. Coaching hirings, you know, in my estimation, are kind of like draft choices. It's just like, you got to see how it plays out. And you're all sitting there. That's a good fit. It's a terrific fit. Great fit. You say the same thing on draft night about a quarterback or lineman. Great fit. Good fit. It definitely fills a need. Yeah. It's different from what you had. You hear all the same things. It's just like, great fit. I like to hire. It's a good hire. Good hire. I mean, who the hell knows?
Now you don't know. 3-4 years down the line, then you know.
Just the one thing that Bears fans wanted was that fella Ted Phillips out. You know, you can't change the owners, the McCaskey family, even though what a botched press conference that was when they announced that they were going in all sorts of different directions in the front office and coaching staff. But look, I would take someone from Brett Veach's staff, too. I mean, that's the one thing about this game that I think we might wind up talking about, the AFC Championship game, when it's all said and done. I haven't really started digging into it on this show, but here's the first one for you. We're going to be talking about the offensive lines, how one guy's not protected by one,
yeah,
and the other guy wasn't protected by one in the Super Bowl last year, and they totally remade it. Lickety split through the draft and the non-playing season, free agency, and everything else. That might be the storyline of the AFC. Going in and then mid-game. Yeah. One guy can't be protected, and the other guy, he's Mahomes, but, you know, Mahomes looks like muh if he's not protected. I like that line, guys. I think I should get something for that.
Mahomes and the muh?
Yeah.
You wanted like a courtesy.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of bookending it. Like, Mahomes looks like muh, and the Bears replaced their ace with an Oles. That's your analysis.
Nice.
I'm weaving a tapestry Top here notch. Is what I'm saying.
Just real quick about not knowing anything about coaching hires and everything. Like, Zach Taylor, when the Bengals got him, kind of, who is this guy? He's a buddy of McVay's. 2 wins his first year, 4 wins his second year. I think a lot of teams would have fired their coach if they only had 6 wins in the first 2 years. They let it marinate. They give him time to develop. They're in the AFC championship.
Yeah, well, it also helps to get Joe Burrow in the middle of it, too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Sean McDermott was run out on a rail from Philadelphia. On a rail. Okay? And the Bills got him, and he's a no-nonsense guy, right? Him and Brandon Bean cleaned house on everything. They cleaned house on the scouting front, on the general managing front. It's just clean house. Start new. How would it look if they had Trent Edwards? You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to get that right. You got to get that right. Yeah. And if you think you got it right already, you got to find the right coach for Justin Fields. The problem for the Bears, one last time, is they let a general manager and a coach choose the quarterback, and now you're trying to find somebody else to make it work. They did it with Nagy, and he made it work with Trubisky, but after a while, you realize, like, they didn't want him there to begin with. Right? And now, find somebody to figure Justin Fields. Instead, you'd rather have the general manager and the coach that you want there for a long time make that decision. Kind of get it a little, bass-ackward. Take a break. Ed Helms, more of your phone calls as well right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before we take a break, I want to tell you about my friends at Navy Federal. If you are digging out of your bills right now that you racked up because you wanted the holiday season to be perfect, well, guess what? Navy Federal Credit Union knows that the holidays can be expensive, and they want to help you take control of your finances after the holidays. You can get a low intro APR on their Platinum credit card. It's their lowest interest rate, the lowest rate card, and it's a great tool to pay down debt. Beyond the holidays, Navy Federal even has multiple savings and investing options to help you get closer to your financial goals. They offer digital tools and educational resources to help guide your decisions. With Navy Federal, you can automate your saving and investing to put your money to work for you even as you sleep. Plus, you can buy fractional shares. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Message and rates may apply. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment options are available through Navy Federal Investment Services and are not insured by NCUA. So, Ed Helms, your phone calls when we come back right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Tomorrow on Netflix. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We are here on NBC Sports on Peacock. We're part of the Peacock family. You can watch The Office here on Peacock. And then, speaking of The Office, the man who played Andy Bernard for all of those years, he and Randall Park together are in a fun new show called True Story with Ed and Randall, available now on Peacock. Joining us here on The Rich Eisen Show is the man himself, Ed Helms. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing better for talking to you. I'm a very big fan of your work. Very big fan.
Thank you so much. You're, you know, yeah, I think we've been trying to get this I've been, like, we've been trying to get on this show for like, scheduled it. And
yeah.
I feel like it's been a saga, but I'm glad to be here.
I am very glad that it is all done. Because, look, we were all rowing in the same peacock direction. We're on the same boat, and we're trying to all row for more streaming and more downloads for everybody, you know?
Amen.
There's an
Amen.
I in Rich and I on Eisen, but I'm a team player. And again, this show that you're doing, I love the idea. So again, you and Randall Park are sitting there and hearing a story for the first time that is a true story. And I love the first story here, especially since it does play into the sports conversation that we do have here every day. So I'll give you the floor. Tell me about Rick Steigerwald and how this plays into your show, your first guest, Ed.
Great. So yeah, he's completely insane. But I'll start with just a little recap of the premise so people kind of understand what the show is. It's like it's kind of a hybrid reality / scripted show where Randall Park and I sit down with just a real everyday average person who happens to have an incredible, crazy, true story from their lives. We sit down with them. Randall and I have never heard the story before. We have a sort of like a back and forth. Just we interview them and hear the story from them, and then which is incredibly fun and would be a great show on its own. But then we actually go and shoot these big reenactments, kind of like cinematic reenactments of the story, and that gets kind of intercut with the interview for the final product, and it's a really it's an incredibly funny show, but because the stories are true and because these people are being so vulnerable and sharing these stories with us, it's also very kind of heartwarming and uplifting at times. And, you know, it just celebrates that lost art of laughing at ourselves.
Yes.
Like people like telling stories that are oftentimes embarrassing or humiliating in some way, but just with a great sense of humor and kind of like humility. So that's what the show is. Our first episode is this guy you mentioned, Rick Steigerwald. And he is like, if I met him in a bar somewhere, I'd be like, this guy's a con man. It's like nothing he says is true.
But it's a true story.
But it is like, it has been completely fact checked. His entire story checks out. And what it is he, in the 70s, he was a welder in Pittsburgh, Steeltown, USA, and of course, just a diehard Steelers fan, as the whole city is. But in the late 70s, I think it was 79, was Terry Bradshaw taking the Steelers to the Super Bowl in Miami, and he and his brothers, who are around 20-something at the time, and just the most raucous, rabble-rousing crew, rent a Winnebago, drive down to Miami for the Super Bowl, and sneak in. And that is the least crazy part of the story. that's literally like that's where the story begins. And from there, it just goes even more and more bananas, and it's so fun. And he is such an incredible character. Like, he's just he's incredibly charming and hilarious, and you just can't believe he's real and that these stories are real.
Well, I mean, and the best part about it, I don't mean to steal too much thunder, because there's enough thunder to go around from his story. He winds up showering with the team. He winds up not only going to the game, but getting his way into the locker room after the game and stripping down naked and showering with the team. That literally happened, Ed, for real?
Yeah, so spoiler alert. Yeah, he basically is a guy who just will stop at nothing to do whatever is crazier than, like, he'll just take a crazier step every time. So they're sitting in the stands. They get into the game. They're sitting in the stands, and his buddy's like, "Hey, let's try to get the game ball." And he's like, "Okay," like sneaks onto the field, and he's on the field at the end of the game, and of course everyone's rushing the field. He sees the team heading back for the locker room. He's like, "Ah, I'll just go in the locker room because I want to hang out with the Steelers. And so he pretends to be a camera assistant or something, makes his way into the locker room.
Oh, my God.
And then someone, I mean, I don't want to spoil too much because there's, because yes, but it does wind up with him in the shower. And if you ask him, like, why did you take a shower with the team? It's like, the answer is as simple as, because it's insane.
Yes.
And it was fun.
It sounds like the worst White Shadow episode ever, Ed.
Yeah.
God.
He's the best. He's just sort of one of those guys that you want to hang out with and just hear about his life.
And then the reenactment includes Bradshaw. You got Terry?
We got Terry, yeah. So I did a movie with Terry a couple of years ago, and I don't know if you know him at all, but he's just the most incredible, wonderful human being.
He is who you think he is. When you see him, that is him. That is him. Yes.
100%.
Right.
And he, I called him, I said, we're doing this thing. This guy actually met you, back in 79 and we want to reenact it. Do you want to be a part of it? And he's like, hell yeah, of course. So Terry's in it and Adam Pally, who's a great, just an amazing, hilarious actor. He plays Rick, young Rick. It's so fun.
Well, I am mandated, Ed Helms, to follow up and just button it up, I guess, with this question is, because again, the fact that you're a newbie to the story too, that you're hearing it as well for the first time, along with Randall Park and the show, again, True Story with Ed and Randall on Peacock here with Ed Helms. Did you inform Terry that he showered with a perfect stranger after the Super Bowl? Was he aware of this story himself, Ed? Did you break this news to him?
I guess so. I don't know who was in the actual shower while Rick was. But yeah, basically, he was in the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
And,
like,
you know,
did he know?
I really wanted to. I have to tell you one more amazing detail.
I'm so sorry if I'm forcing you into spoilers. I know that's not. I want people.
All.
Okay, good. All right.
No, I can't help myself. Okay. Like, I shouldn't say this stuff, but hopefully, the more crazy stuff I tell you, the more people will want to.
Bees to honey. Yes. Yes.
He at one point, a reporter thinks that Rick is a Steeler. And starts to interview him, and he just does the interview.
What?
Does this video exist? Does it?
I don't know that that's findable.
Oh, God.
But it is so priceless. But here's what does exist for sure. There were articles in the Miami Herald or some like local paper about a guy who snuck into the locker room and interacted with everybody before he got kicked out.
Oh my God.
So it's true. Like it's all true.
Wow. True Story with Ed and Randall on Peacock. You got to check it out. And then there's some other great stories of some other regular people. I guess the only thing missing from this story is Mr. Chow hopping out of the trunk of the Winnebago, Ed. You know what
there
I'm saying?
Go.
You know, that's my
trick. Yeah, what I try to do is mix up all of my all of my stuff.
Mix them all up.
An Andy Bernard appearance.
You know what? That's next level. That was also my way to transition. A couple of questions about this. You know, what's your true story about Mike Tyson? What do you got for me about your experience with Mike on the set of The Hangover? If you had a true story about Mike, that's not to be believed. You got a good one about it?
Well, he was in both Hangover 1 and Hangover 2.
Yes, sir.
And in Hangover 2, of course, I have his tattoo. And I'm not sure that I don't know if he totally had read the script or was briefed on the script exactly before he got to Thailand to shoot with us. But when I walked out with his tattoo on my face for the first day of shooting with him, he looked so pissed.
Oh.
And I was terrified. And then There's like 10 minutes of just like really intense tension. And then he just breaks out with his like huge laugh.
Oh, thank God.
And I was like, oh my God. Yes. Okay. Mike was just messing with me and rightfully so. And we had a great time shooting again.
Well, he came on this show years ago when I had it sometimes because we're on radio, not to get too deep in the woods here, but I would have to take a break in the middle of long interviews just for the radio audience. And so it was up to me. It was my, prerogative when to take that over a certain period of time. And I knew I would have to take a break in the interview that I had with Mike sitting here. So I asked him at one point, I said, hey, if I could get you back in the ring, how many rounds could you go like now at this age? And he says to me, I don't like to think about that because when I think about boxing, it puts me in a very dark place. At which point I'm like, well, we'll be right back. That's when I took the break.
Oh, man.
That's when I'm like, okay, I'm going to take that break now, and then we'll reset and come back.
Yeah, we'll refresh.
Now, when he hit you, when he hit you in the movie, like, did he come close? I mean, like, what happened there?
So that's a common misconception. He actually hit Zach in the movie.
So he did not hit you in the film. Okay. Right.
And it was, the stunt guy comes and like sort of shows you exactly how to do those big punch moments and like, you know, he's showing Mike. But Mike's the real deal. He's not necessarily going to respond perfectly to like somebody teaching him a specific way to punch. Like he just has those reflexes. And when Zach goes down from that fake punch, there was a split second where I was like, did that land? Oh my God. Did that land? Was this, are we going to have to call an ambulance? Oh my word. Yeah. He's incredible.
Is it true? Did you ad lib the song at the piano with the chicken about Doug? Was that off the top of your head in The Hangover?
I wrote it that day, but I didn't ad-lib it in the moment. I wish I were that brilliant.
Okay.
But I'm not.
Now, how many takes did you, at any point in time during the filming of that scene, realize that you were, in fact, playing with a chicken on your piano, Ed, and the absurdity of it? Did you get caught in that? Or can you focus?
You know, like I'm a really intense actor, Rich, and so I didn't allow myself to explore the absurdity. I just had to play the reality of the moment.
Understood.
And
you're a professional. I didn't mean to besmirch. I didn't mean to think that you
how
couldn't.
Dare you
My apologies, because I just think it's just, everybody just sitting around and it's such a, poignant moment and there's a chicken on the piano and you.
I will tell you, there were so many times shooting that movie that we just could not stop laughing for any number of reasons, whether it was like something in the script or something that was happening off camera or just one of us messing with the other. Like the making of that movie was one of the greatest times of my life. And I just remember it so fondly. And I think that's a big part of the appeal of the movie, honestly, is just how much fun we were having making it. And that somehow sort of comes across.
Well, it certainly does. In my estimation, Ed, and this is not a hyperbole and because you're here either, but the final scene of that film where you take a look at what's in the camera is truly one of the funniest, greatest endings in the history of movies. It really is. I mean, what a payoff. What a finish. And I'm wondering, did you shoot those shots during the filming of it in real time? Like, did you like say, okay, this is going to be for the camera shot at the end? Is that how you guys actually did that?
Yes.
For The Hangover?
Yeah. So there are, it's a mix. There are pictures in that final credit sequence that are sort of like additional moments from scenes in the movie.
Uh-huh.
So, and for those, like when we would shoot a scene Todd, the director, would say, like, okay, let's get some stills for the credits. But then there are a bunch of those photos that are just complete surprises, like me in a fist fight with Wayne Newton, or the scene where I'm pulling my tooth out. You don't ever see any of that stuff in the body of a movie. So those were things that we scheduled and had to go out and shoot just as stills for the credits.
Who could take a punch more, Wayne Newton or Zach Galifianakis? Who could take a punch better? What do you got for me?
Well, I think Wayne was, I can't remember. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I think Wayne was kind of kicking my ass.
My bad. That's another common misconception.
Yeah.
Oh my God, just amazing, man. And I would be remiss, certainly, since you can see everything on Peacock, if I did not ask you before I let you go, your favorite scene in The Office that you were involved in, one that you're particularly fond of, proud of, anything on that front?
Man, it's really hard to pick.
I bet.
There are so many fun ones, but I think one of the scenes that sticks with me a lot, because it was one of the most exciting things for me to shoot, was when Andy arrives at Dunder Mifflin mm-hmm. for the first time, or he arrives in the Scranton branch for the first time. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of like figured out that he wants to like mimic and mirror Michael Scott as a sort of way to get in his good graces. And that first episode where he's trying to kind of butter up Michael Scott, those were my first scenes working with Steve, and he's just so incredible and so funny. And I just remember though that first episode of being in Scranton as like, oh wow, this is so cool. I'm just so excited to be here. And I also, it was the first time I really understood how unfathomably funny Steve Carell is. Like, when you're in the same space with him, I had such a hard time keeping from breaking with him. And over the years, it never got easier. And I wound up developing a trick, which somebody told me this is something that I think a lot of actors use when they have to try not to laugh. I would rarely look Steve in the eye during a scene. I would usually be looking at his chin or his ear or like some neutral spot so that I wasn't actually feeling the just like tsunami of comedy coming at me, because I would be laughing too hard.
I love that. That's a great true story right there. Thanks for the time, Ed. Like I said, big fan. I could go on and on like this for a long time. I appreciate you coming on here, right here on Peacock, True Story with Ed and Randall.
Yeah, right on. I'm really glad to be here, Rich. I would love to be back soon.
Excellent.
And thanks for having me.
Anytime, man. At Ed Helms on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks again. You go forth, and I can't wait to see more of your show. Thank you for being here.
Right on.
You got it. That's Ed Helms, everybody, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Fist fight with Wayne Newton. Just hearing those words are just...
That was amazing.
Funny.
All of that.
I put my money on Wayne.
Honestly, again, because that movie, and I'm not, you know, I guess I'm spoiling that, but screw it. It's been so long. I mean, The Hangover came out in 2009. Yeah. Last time, oh, wow. There was no Brady or Rodgers in the championship weekend.
That's when
The
Hangover came out. Full circle.
I just remember the movie being so funny and just so raucous and so, I guess, draining, right? Watching them, you feel like you're going through it with them, and that it's finally through it. And then to have that final scene play out on the credits was beyond the greatest bonus you could have.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Which is why I would just always wanted to know. They must have shot these snaps when they were shooting these scenes, right? Not like have one extra shoot day where
they would come in and
today's the day where we're just going to take the stills. They shot it in real time. That is so funny, man. All right, we'll take a break, finish up with your phone calls, and then there must have been some other news breaking, but not like one of the best coaches of his generation saying, I need to step away, as Sean Payton has apparently told the Saints. Back with more in a moment.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
So, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio outfit, along with everything else, my friends at NetSuite want to let you know, again, that the one-of-a-kind special financing offer is still out there for you to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, because you are probably like most businesses dealing with poor visibility, because you got these spreadsheets you're still relying on and outdated finance software. NetSuite by Oracle is the number one cloud financial system. It is there to power your growth with visibility and control of your financials and inventory and HR, planning, budgeting, and more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Be part of the over 28,000 businesses that already use NetSuite. For the new year, again, NetSuite has this new financing program I've been telling you about for those ready to upgrade. At netsuite.com/rich. Head to netsuite.com/rich for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/rich. Well, the Saints just became the most interesting job in professional football, don't you think?
Really?
You think?
You got an owner that's not going anywhere. You got a fan base that's intense. You got a defense. You got playmakers.
They got no quarterback.
That's the problem.
That sounds like the Broncos, too.
You could say that?
Their ownership might change, though.
Their ownership might change, but...
Yeah, for sure.
You know. Well, there's one thing that I want to hit here before finishing up the program. Let's take this phone call right here on the program. Let's go to Brian in North Carolina. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Rich. Good to be had again.
Thanks for making the call.
Yeah, dude. I tried to get in yesterday, but it was a little bit late. I've been slammed with work, but...
what's on your mind?
Before working from home, so am I really working? I just wanted to chime in on the overtime thing. One, I wish there was a little bit of more of an outcry for this overtime thing back in 28-3. You know,
right?
Coin flipped, and I was like, "Well, that's over." So all you got to do is—it's a high-scoring game now. It's throw it like basketball overtime. If you did sudden death in basketball, well, that would be absolutely
no. I know that, but it's a different sport, right? Where you can play a 5-minute period, you know, and in football you can keep playing until somebody scores. I mean, at some point that's going to happen. And the as you pointed out, 28-3, coin flip. You know, I didn't hear much of a hue and cry. Everybody was talking about that was one of the most incredible comebacks ever in the Super Bowl, and I can't believe Tom Brady did it. And the whole thing, too, Brian, is that the other two games that could have gone in overtime, it wasn't like whoever's going to win the coin flip's going to win it. That wasn't the case at all. But this one did go to overtime, and both defenses were kind of gassed, you know?
But a part of the game of football is clock management. So if you throw 5 minutes back on there, then you got clock management. Sorry, TJ. You know, I guess that kind of rules the Cowboys out. But
shrapnel.
You know,
in Ryan, the corner
thanks,
direction.
Buddy. Nice work.
Eight ball. Brian Ball, corner pocket right there on the Rich Eisen
show. Your team
lost
by 30, okay?
All right, let's all end. Let's go back to our corners and send Brian back to his work. Thanks for the call.
He's not working, though. He just told us that.
No, he is. He said he was slammed, but it's all good. Thanks for the call. Call back. I came out of that Chiefs-Bills game counseling Bills Mafia saying, you know what? The wound is open, and let's cauterize it with the red-hot heat of your quarterback's future. You got it. You got the guy. As I said, he's not just your man. He's the man. No question about it. The fact that I saw a bunch of Bills Mafia say, yes, you should do that. So many people don't give Josh Allen credit. I think that those days are over, right? I mean, he is truly one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, if not the best quarterback in the NFL. I know Mahomes is the one who's still playing today. I know Mahomes has got the 4 championship game appearances now. I get it. But Allen is incredible. He is elite, A-plus football talent. And now he has got that sort of treatment that one would expect with an A-plus elite quarterback from his own coach and organization. This is what Sean McDermott said when it was brought up that Brian Daboll might be going elsewhere. Certainly with the Giants hiring somebody from the Bills front office and handing the reins to choose the next coach to him. Looks like Brian Daboll's going out the door. This is what the answer was when asked about who might be next in that position should it happen.
Josh and I communicate on a lot of things. We spoke yesterday about some of what you're discussing here, Heather, and he will be in the loop and he will be communicated with, and certainly value Josh's opinion on things. And it's important that he's comfortable as well. So no decision will be made without Josh being looped in.
Damn straight. Oh, yeah. Who should we hire? We'll talk about it. We'll have some candidates, but we're checking with Josh first. You bet you are. How about that? Josh Allen goes from kid from Wyoming who's got to go there because he doesn't get a ton of offers. He shows up there. He gets drafted where he gets drafted. Even though there's lots of questions about accuracy, this and that and the other thing. Yeah, and then, boom, less than 5 years, he's clearly one of the best in the game, and they are checking with him after they get a new offensive coordinator who's got the job because he is now creating new coaches. Obviously, it's whoever else is there. The front office is part of it, and the coach is part of it. But Josh Allen is now creating coaches, head coaches, based on his performance. And yes, they will ask him. How many times you hear, we're going to hire, and then we'll talk to player X, we'll talk to player. Nope. They know what they've got in Josh Allen, an elite A-plus quarterback, if not the best in the NFL. Who do you think, Josh? You're in the loop. Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Well, also seeing, the disgruntledness of Rodgers and Russell Wilson and others.
Oh, sure.
Not going down that road.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
What else do you need, Josh?
Yeah.
Water at room temperature or frozen? How do you like it? How do you like your M&Ms, Josh? Yep. That's it for this show. Stephen A. Smith tomorrow.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.